Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. So yeah, let's talk about the origins of Princess Zelda. So the big thing about my last episode is we don't know where the name Ganon came from. And I hope some journalist is listening to this the next time they sit down with Miyamoto to talk about Mario Odyssey 2 or whatever he's promoting. This has got to be your first question. They will make you leave, but it'll be worth it for all of humanity to know this. We don't know where Ganon comes from. We do know where Zelda comes from. We even have a quote from Miyamoto. So, quote, Zelda was the name of the wife of the famous novelist Frances Scott Fitzgerald. She was a famous and beautiful woman from all accounts, and I liked the sound of her name. So I took the liberty of using her name for the very first Zelda title. And of course, F. Scott Fitzgerald wrote The Great Gatsby, and Zelda Fitzgerald was a novelist. She wrote one novel. She left one unfinished. She was an artist. She was a socialite. But I think she's mostly remembered for her brutal struggles with mental illness and the very, very dark way she died. So maybe that part was unclear to Miyamoto when he's thinking of a princess character who's going to have a happy ending. But regardless, this is where Zelda comes from. And because of this, we have Zelda Fitzgerald. And the second most famous real-life Zelda is Zelda Williams, named after Legend of Zelda because Robin Williams was obsessed with this game to the point where he named his daughter, born in 89, after Princess Zelda.
And she makes pretty interesting movies now, so good for her.
Yeah, I think, did she direct Lisa Frankenstein?
Yes.
Or is that somebody else? Okay, yeah, that could be her first movie, but yeah, I've never met any other Zeldas. It is an old-timey name, and maybe it's coming back, or maybe the game titles have taken too much of the name SEO away from the actual real-life name, where people, it's like naming your kid Turok. No one's going to think it's an original name. They're going to be like, oh, you played the video game, whatever.
Yeah, I feel like Zelda Williams is like the only person who can pull it off at this point. If you named anyone else that, it would just be like, all right.
Yeah, you couldn't name your kid Zelda after Ocarina of Time. It just won't work.
I was going to say, there's enough kids I've encountered named Aeris that I feel like you could name Zelda, but everyone's going to know where you got it from. It's very obvious.
Just like how there was a real uptick in Edwards and Jacobs and Bellas after 2008. We all know where it comes from. It's fine. Maybe there's a Bella listening to this. Hello. Or maybe there's an Aerith, or hey, even a Zelda. Let us know in the comments. But I like how Nintendo actually capitalized on this with some of their promotional campaigns. And now that Robin Williams has passed on, he's been gone for 10 years, they're even sweeter than they were a decade ago. There's a couple commercials for Ocarina of Time 3D, a couple commercials for Skyward Sword, and it's just very sweet bonding, while selling a product, of course, between father and daughter. I was watching these and getting a little goosebumpy for research for this.
I definitely, like, the Ocarina of Time 3D one has always stuck with me, where it's like Robin just, like, talking about, you know, saving this princess, and he's saying all these wonderful things, and it's, oh, no, he's not talking about Zelda in the game, he's talking about his daughter, and, you know, it's... I think they work because they feel very genuine and sincere. It's like, yes, they are selling a product. Yes, they are taking advantage that this celebrity named his daughter after Zelda. But, you know, there's obviously a very genuine connection between the two. And Robin Williams has an actual, you know, love for these games. So, you know, marketing stuff aside, they are very sweet, I think.
Yeah, part of me thinks with the way Robin Williams' brain worked and the kind of comedy he liked to do, I was wondering if they just sat the two down, rolled the cameras, and just caught a bunch of conversations, and they picked out the one that worked the best. It feels like it's not scripted, although for all I know it is, but he really does sell it, the love for his daughter, which it turns out was genuine. just like his love for The Legend of Zelda.
Maybe she'll listen to this podcast and she can tell us how those commercials came together.
I hope so. Maybe she resents retro games because she grew up listening to people say, "Are you Princess Zelda? Is Link going to rescue you?"
God, what's the over-under on her having been dressed up as Zelda for one of the Halloweens as a kid?
It had to happen. It had to happen. I would do a Google image search, but it'd be too distracting right now. And to talk about her design, the original Zelda design is not very inspired. She is basically like a brown-haired Peach. It's hard to tell if her hair is brown or red, but it's a darker hair color than Peach's blonde hair. But she's got a very plain pink dress, and that will remain the same for the next two games. But the one recurring feature of her design is, I've only seen this spelled out, I've never heard it out loud, said out loud, a diadem, which is sort of a tiara, but it goes across your forehead. And that is going to be a recurring feature of the character design from this point forward. But in the beginning, not a lot of thought went into this, and it's just a princess in a pink dress with some kind of jewelry to evoke a sense of royalty, and it will get better from here. But you could tell that once they figured out Link, oh yeah, Peter Pan with a sword, get him out there, they were ready to just move on with other characters.
It is interesting that maybe it was at Skyward Sword is when they decided to shift her to blue instead of pink.
Yeah, in artwork for A Link to the Past.
She's still pink. She's like both in Skyward Sword. She has like pink, and then sometimes she has like a white dress that they kind of make bluish. But
yeah, in A Link to the Past, she wears in artwork for the game a plain blue dress, and then she has the royal gown and everything. So I think blue was an element they were thinking about, but then we have the full transition to blue with Breath of the Wild and I believe Tears of the Kingdom as well. But yeah, so we have all of our answers for Zelda. We know what she's based on in terms of her name. I don't think there's any kind of visual basis for her. She's not from Journey to the West, thank God. They dodged that bullet. So that's basically where Zelda came from. Not a character with a lot of thought put behind her, but they will develop her from this point forward after a few games where she is just a placeholder princess. And it's time to go over the games. And I will note that we will cover the CDI games after we cover the Japanese games, because a lot of the first we're going to be talking about here actually happened in the CDI games. But I'm going to put the Nintendo games in their own silo for this discussion, because these are the games most people played. And the most people are interested in hearing about these games. So stay tuned for CDI Corner coming up here.